Be ready to get into the Word. Let's do this. Okay, I'd like for you to take your Bibles out and turn to Matthew chapter 3. Matthew chapter 3. When you came in today, you should have received a bulletin, and inside that bulletin, we have a half-sheet message notes where you can follow along with today's message. There's going to be fill-in-the-blanks. All the scriptures that I'm going to use in today's message, as well as the answers to the fill-in-the-blanks, will be up on the screen above me. And if you can't remember, the slides go too fast, just look on your neighbor's paper. It's okay to cheat. So we're looking at Matthew chapter 3, and let me set this up for you. Jesus was just beginning his public ministry. And he said, first things first, I've got to get baptized. And so he went to go visit his cousin, John the Baptist, who was baptizing people at the river. And it's time for him to get baptized. So let's see what it says. Matthew chapter 3, we're reading verse 13 and then skipping to 16 and 17. It says this, then Jesus came from Galilee to the Jordan to be baptized by John. As soon as Jesus was baptized, he went up out of the water. At that moment, heaven was opened, and we saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and alighting on him. And a voice from heaven said, this is my Son, whom I love. With him I am well pleased. Let's pray. God, thanks so much that you loved us so much that you sent your Son. And in the process, showed us what it's like to be a dad. God, I pray that you would challenge us today, challenge both our hearts and minds, change us to be more like you. In Jesus' name, we all said, amen. As we just discovered by looking at these ballots that we just took up where people wrote advice that dads give, dads always have something to say, don't they? They always have something to say, and I decided to ask my kids, what is it that I always say to you? What advice do I always give to you? And the amazing thing is they came up with 5 different answers. It's interesting. So I asked Radley, he was the youngest one who was standing in the middle here. And he said, Dad, you always tell me that I can always have fresh breath. You may be scratching your head on what this is that the kid's so polite, he always asks me if he can have one of my Altoid mints. And my answer is always the same. You can always have fresh breath. Please take an Altoid. So the answer is always going to be yes if you want fresh breath. I guess that's good advice I say to him. I asked Riley, what does Dad always say to you? When I asked her, she said, I don't want to tell you. I'm like, why? She's like, then I have to do it. I'm like, please tell me. I want to know. What is it that I say? She's like, don't you already know? Because you say it all the time. And she finally, after coaxing her for about 5 minutes, she told me. She said, you always tell me, don't say you can't. Say you can't yet. You can't yet. So that usually applies to her working on math or working on a new gymnastic skill or something like that. So I asked Ryden, my middle son, what does Dad always say? He's like, Dad, you've given me my financial plan for my future. I'm like, really? Yep, Dad, I know exactly what I'm going to do when I earn money. I'm going to live by the 70-10-10-10 plan. I'm like, okay, what is it? Let's see if you know this. He said, okay. He said, whenever I earn anything, I'm going to give 10% to God. I'm going to put 10% in savings, and I'm going to give 10% to mom and dad for the retirement fund, and I'm going to live off 70%. At least one of my 5 kids are listening to my retirement plan. I asked Regan, my second oldest. He said, Dad, you always tell me the criteria I need to evaluate on whether or not I need to take a shower right now. I said, well, Regan, what is it? He said, Dad, if I'm deciding whether or not to take a shower, you tell me if any one of these conditions is true, then I've got to take a shower. The first one is if I'm in double digits in age, then I have to take a shower. Secondly, if I've done any physical exertion today, physical activity, then I've got to take a shower. And last but not least, third, if I can't remember the last time I took a shower, I probably need to take a shower. I hope he's listening. last but not least, my oldest. Can't believe he said this. Can't believe I'm about to say this. I asked Randon. I said, Randon, what advice do I always give you? What do I always say to you? And he quickly said, don't call me a butt daddy. And I'm like, what? He's like, you always say that all the time. Don't call me butt daddy. You see, I always talk to him, and he always replies with, butt daddy. And I say, don't call me a butt daddy. And I guess it's sticking, okay? As long as he follows along with it and doesn't call me a butt daddy, then I guess that's okay. But when we think about dads and their advice, there's always these common things that it seems like dads are just known for always saying, that dads always have something to say. But we decided to have a little fun, and we found a video of a dad who says the exact opposite, things that dad never says. You'll never hear a dad saying any of these things. And so let's just watch.
I don't care how late you stay out. Stay out as late as you want. You want to borrow the new car? You want to borrow my credit card? Kids today, they really have it rough.
I have no idea where we are or where we're going.
I mean, when I was their age, life was easy. Super easy. Why haven't you gotten a tattoo yet? How come you don't have any piercings yet?
Yep, we're lost. We are completely lost.
Ooh, sports.
Just do whatever the mechanic says to do.
Vehicle maintenance is completely overrated.
Look, whatever the mechanic is asking, just pay him. Pay him whatever he wants.
I wish they had soap operas at night. I like that boy. You should date him. You should date him immediately.
Well, what about the creepy guy with the motorcycle? He's cute.
Yeah, sure. Spring break in Tahiti sounds fun. Hey, make sure you get all your video games done before you start your homework.
You don't have to pass all your classes.
What? You have a project due tomorrow, and you've known about it for 4 weeks, and you haven't started yet? Sweet!
Doesn't anybody want to know if we're there yet?
Remember, if you need anything between midnight and 4 a.m., please come wake me up.
Hey, I'm on the phone. Could you bring the baby over and let him climb all over me? Hey! Hey, can you please turn that music up?
Well, we just stopped for lunch 10 minutes ago, but yeah, let's stop again.
I never have trouble with my toddler.
I never have trouble with my teenagers.
I never have trouble with my adult children.
You know, she's right. We are ruining her life.
Yes, more homework to correct.
All right, whining.
Yay, tantrums.
Vomit.
We just really need to spoil these kids more.
Sorry, buddy. I don't know any good jokes at all.
You're 16. You pretty much know everything now.
I think 18's a great age to get married.
Okay, remember, make sure you turn on all the lights before you leave the house.
Hey, could you leave the front door open for a couple hours?
Thanks.
Whoa! Money really does grow on trees.
Yes. You wouldn't catch a dad saying any of those things, would you? Not a single one of those. But you see, we remember what our dads say to us, their advice. And why do we remember? Why is there always something that stands out that our dad always says? And it's either because they think we haven't really gotten it, or we just haven't gotten it. They have to keep on reminding us. And that's the same thing that keeps on coming up. It's like repeat, or we didn't do what they said. The thing that my dad always told me was, Ryan, be aware of your surroundings. At first, I thought this was just good advice. Until I finally figured out that he meant, be aware of what's happening around you. Be aware of your surroundings. And this past week, I was with my daughter, Riley. She was the one pulling out the ballots there. And she likes coming and riding with Dad in my truck. She likes hanging out with me, and she told me this past week, she was telling me, Dad, I'm going to have a truck when I grow up too, just like yours. She said, except it's not going to be gray, it's going to be pink with sparkles. But that makes Dad proud that she's dreaming about a truck, and I said, okay, when you get your truck, we're going to put that little sticker on the back window that says, silly boys, trucks are for girls. And she laughed at that, but So we're hanging out together, and we were airing up the tires. We had to replace one of our tires and put the spare on, and the spare was flat, so we're airing it up. And my daughter's looking at the tire, and she's saying, "Dad, it's ugly. Looks like it came off Mater's truck. It was all rusted out rim. It had never been used for 10 years. And we put it on. She's like, "Dad, I don't know. I don't know if anyone can really see us driving down the road with this." And I said, "Okay, I tell you what. We will go through the car wash right now at Quick Trip. We'll take the truck, do the car wash. Maybe it'll rust, take off some of that rust. Maybe it'll take off some of that dirt and everything." She's like, "Okay." She loves going through the car wash with me because it's just such a fun experience. She pretends like she's scared when the brushers are going over the car, and it's kind of a fun thing that we do. So we're in the car wash, and she's doing her fake screams and yells of the brushes going over. "Ah, yeah, Dad, they're getting me," until she starts screaming out of pure terror. And I'm like, what's going on, Riley? And she's looking. She's pointing this way, and she's pointing at my driver's side mirror that just got caught by the arm thing of the thing going back and forth and just kind of ripped it off. And I think I traumatized my daughter. It ripped it off. We had to go collect the parts and kind of put it back together. We got to spend an extra hour at Quick Trip and filled out paperwork. They took pictures and everything. And they gave me a phone call yesterday, and they said, "Well, sir, we understand. We saw the video footage. We saw everything, and we have a question for you. Did you fold your mirrors in?" I said, "What?" "Did you fold your mirrors in, sir? We have a sign right at the beginning of the car wash." And I'm like, "I've never been to the car wash before. I don't remember any sign." And they said, "Well, we'll go ahead. You can get it repaired, and we're going to pay for it this one time." And I thought, you know what? I'm going to go drive by that car wash and see if there was ever a sign. And just how small was that sign? And sure enough, there's a sign like this big right above the doorway. "Close in your mirrors." And then it hit me. My dad always said, be aware of your surroundings. I got back in my truck that night, and Riley's like, "Dad, I'm sorry I changed my mind. I'm never getting a truck. They break." Yeah, she's like, "First the tire, then the mirror. And while I was sitting in here, while you were in there, this light started flashing. Trucks break." I traumatized her. But we listen to our dads. We hear the advice. We remember what they said. Sometimes it's good advice. But you may be sitting here and saying, Pastor Ryan, my dad did not give me any good advice ever. My dad actually instead used words that demeaned me or hurt me or abused me. And now I'm scarred because of what my dad said to me. That when you bring up this whole idea of Father's Day and that's what my dad said, I can only think of bad things. I want you to know that it doesn't have to be that way. We're going to talk in the next few moments on how you can have healing, how you can move on, and how you can make a difference with the words you say as a result. You see, our words are powerful. Our words are powerful. Last year, there was an article that came out in Inc. magazine, and the caption, the title of the article said this: "Want to double your employee loyalty? Science says to provide these three things." So they figured it out. This is what you got to provide. You might want to take notes on this. It'll be in your notes. I'm just going to read the first paragraph of the article. Here's what it says. "Humans make relationships harder than they need to be. At our very core, we crave only three things: after food, shelter, and good Wi-Fi service. We crave to feel like we belong, that these are my people, that this is my tribe. We crave to feel safe, that can I take risks and not be demoralized or penalized. And the third thing we crave on a base level is to feel like we matter, Is the work that I'm doing meaningful to my organization? Am I making a dent in the universe? And they finish up by saying, that's it. These are the three things we need to declare complete devotion to another person, a cause, or an organization. And they went on in the article to explain the science behind it. And the science was based off this fact that 90% of all the decisions we make with our emotional brain. Our emotional brain. That means that we decide most things based on how we feel about it. Do we belong? Do we feel safe? Do we feel like we matter? And although they might not have realized it, they're speaking to a corporate sense and how do you retain employees and have loyal employees. They're talking about some root human needs that everyone has, that your kids have, that your spouse has, that your parents have, that anyone in your life, root needs. Do I belong? Do I matter? And do I feel safe? The Bible describes in many places in the New Testament that while Jesus was on this planet, that they had many he had many conversations with his dad, and his dad was God. But there's only three times in the New Testament where we get to hear what was God saying to Jesus. And of the three times where we get a recording of what God said to Jesus, his son, two of the times the message was exactly the same. The exact same message, two of the times. So three times, two of them were exactly the same. So our question is, what did Jesus, who is God, need to hear from his dad, who is God? What did he need to hear? See, with Jesus and his dad, there's three things that need to be said. And we find this in our scripture today when we looked at when Jesus got baptized, that there was a voice from heaven and said, "This is my son. This is my son." When God said this about Jesus, what he was showing was acceptance. Acceptance. This is my son. My son. He was telling everybody who would listen, and even us, thousands of years later, that this was his son. God was accepting who Jesus was. That kind of goes along with that need we just talked about of everyone feels like they need to belong somewhere. Who's my family? Who's my group? That there's acceptance. We all need acceptance. The second thing he said was, whom I love. He said, this is my son, whom I love. Whom I love. He was showing affection. Affection. See, that second base need that we just talked about said that we need to know that we're safe. That we can take a risk and we're not going to be demoralized or demeaned. And we need affection. We need somebody to love us. On Wednesday nights, we have a Bible study. We do a casual Bible study in the cafe with adults, and it's a lot of fun, and if you haven't been a part of that, you're just missing out, and that's okay if you don't want to be a part of something cool. And the people laughing are the people who have been going because they know the secret of what it's really like. It's a lot of fun, but we had a conversation this past Wednesday about it, about what was going on, and somebody said that they felt really happy this last week because somebody invited them to something. Like, they included them. And this person was just ecstatic, and they kept on centering around this idea that they wanted me. They wanted me. And it was making a difference in her life. She's like, that meant more than what the activity actually was. It meant more than who they were. It was that somebody said, hey, come do this with me. And what it was speaking to was, hey, We like you. We want you to be a part. That's something that when we say about Focus Church, we say that we are a family. And a family doesn't have to be blood related, but we can be blood related because we're all together part of God's family. And we mean this when we say, hey, just like Jesus said, he asked the question, who's my mom and who's my brothers and who are my sisters? But look around, those who follow my dad's commandments, my dad's teachings, they're my mom, they're my dad, they're my brother, they're my sister. And yet, when we come to church, sometimes we come, we only speak to a couple people that we know, and then we walk back out. All the while probably wishing that somebody would show some affection towards you, that somebody would want you, that somebody would include you. And that's probably something that we can make the biggest difference with, that feeling of what it's not like to be invited, what it's not like to be accepted. Instead of having our own pity parties and saying, oh, well, you know what? I've been at that church 5 times and nobody said hi to me and talked for me for more than 3 minutes. So I guess I'll just move on. Maybe it's God wants you to reach out and help somebody else to say, you know what? The way I feel right now, I don't want anyone else to feel that way. I want to talk to someone. I'm going to be looking to see who's not being talked to, who is out there, who is new and affection, whom I love. You know, it was understood that God loved Jesus, but he made it a point to say it with his words. This is my son whom I love. Not just because we're related, but this is also the guy I love. And thirdly, what did God say to Jesus? He says, with him I am well pleased. With him, I'm well pleased. And what this showed was affirmation. Affirmations. You matter. You know, what was that third thing that we all crave at a root level with relationships? What I do? Does it matter? Do I matter to anyone? Do I matter to whatever group I'm a part of? And here God's saying, with him, I am well pleased, providing affirmation. So there might be some of you who have read this story before of, wow, yeah, Jesus got baptized, and yeah, his spirit descended like a dove, and yeah, there was a voice from heaven, and yeah, this is my son whom I love, and in him I'm well pleased. And it's like, yeah, it's a great Bible story, but here, hidden in this Bible story, is a message for every dad on how to talk to your kids. To accept your kids, to provide affection for your kids, to provide affirmation. I believe in you. You matter. I love you. You're my kid. And is that limited to just dads? Is this advice just for dads? Is this a blueprint just for God saying, hey, this is how I am as a dad. I'm speaking to my son. So all you dads, this is how you should speak to your sons. No. This is really a way that we could speak to everyone in our lives. This is a way that we can break a cycle of how we've been treated. Because I know there are some of you who say that, my dad never showed me affection. My dad never said anything nice to me. My dad did not accept me for who I was. My dad was never pleased with anything I did. And we could continue the pity party, or we could say, you know what? God's given us a different plan of what do we say to others, those we love, those we care for, those we identify with. Providing acceptance, affection, affirmation, knowing at a root level we're saying you belong, you're safe, and you matter. On Mother's Day, which was a month ago, we looked at Ephesians chapter 6, and we looked at verses 1, 2, and 3, and it was talking about, hey, kids, you need to honor your mom and dads. Do what they tell you to do. And the Bible gives a promise that says, and you'll live long and you'll have a great life. But the next verse, chapter 6, verse 4 in Ephesians, the Bible turns and says that we're no longer talking to kids, but we're going to address specifically dads and fathers. And it says this, fathers, do not exasperate your children. Instead, bring them up in the training and instruction of the Lord. Fathers, do not exasperate your children. Instead, bring them up in the training and instruction of the Lord. Other versions of the Bible say, don't make your kids angry. Don't hurt your kids with your words. Don't push kids away with what you say to them or how you treat them. But instead, bring up your kids in the training and the instruction of the Lord. I told you that in a story with Riley, she was very traumatized when I finally got back in the truck. And here she is crying tears saying, I'm never going to own a truck, Dad, because trucks just break. And here as a dad, I'm thinking, no, don't think of trucks this way. You know, tires, they get worn out. You have to change them and they go flat and you got to fill them up. And that's just what you do. And the truck didn't break its mirror. It was the bad car wash. And I promise we'll never go to this car wash again. And she's trying to get a hold of herself. And she says, Dad, you had a meeting with us kids a couple Fridays ago. You see, I probably shared this, I think, in the last few weeks or to some of you that we were getting towards the end of the school year, and for each of our kids, there was just something happening in their life that was just beyond their control, and it was getting to them emotionally. It was shaking their foundation of where they are at. And when I heard these stories all culminating in this Friday night, I knew there's something I've got to do as the dad, as the person in charge of this family. I need to loop the kids in on what's really going on. You see, for one kid, they were like, I miss my friends back in Kansas. Another kid saying, I'm not getting my grades. I just can't do as good as I normally do. And another kid, I'm being bullied at school. And another kid, it was just problem after problem. And it was really getting my kids down. I said, we've got to talk. Let's loop in together. I need to get them all on the same page of what's really going on. And I shared with them that when Mom and Dad accepted the invitation to come pastor Focus Church and to follow God's leading, that it wasn't just Mom and Dad who had to do it, but they had to do it as well. And they were brought along, and it was part of God's plan for them to be included as well. And they are having impact on a weekly basis of what happens around here and what they're doing downstairs and the lights that they're being in their schools. And I explained to them that when you're in God's will, that you should expect resistance. You should expect resistance because the enemy sees you as a threat. And the way how I know this story so well is this was one piece of advice I remember my dad giving to me. He told me, Ryan, you're going to have problems in your life. You're going to have things that just hit you out of the blue. They're going to mess with you, and they're going to try to derail you. And I'm like, Dad, that's not very encouraging advice. He's trying to tell me what it's going to be like. And this is after I told him I'm following God's call to become a pastor. And he said, then you're going to have an awful life. And he didn't mean it in a bad way. He's just saying, hey, you need to expect resistance. Because when you are a threat, the enemy will do whatever he can to get you off track. And I remembered hearing that from my dad, and that's something that's helped me all along. And in this particular Friday night, I felt like this is something I got to share with my kids. They got to know that this is not because of who they are. It's not because we're in Wisconsin and not in Kansas anymore. No, the enemy is trying every which way to derail our family so that we stop doing what we are doing. I said, the goal of the enemy right now is for just one of you to throw the biggest fit that you can and say, I want to go back home. I don't want to be here anymore. Because that might be all that it takes. And so that night, at our family meeting around the table, there was me, the dad, giving the advice, don't let the enemy win. Don't let the enemy win. Now, I'm not sure they listened until this past week, late at night with Riley in my truck. She's wiping the tears from her eyes, and she's like, Dad, remember how you talked to us that other Friday night? How the enemy wants us to want to go home? She said, she just got all defiant and said, I'm not going anywhere. I'm staying here. I don't care what's happened. Keep on trying, enemy. And I could never have been more prouder as a dad. My girl listened. She recognized it for what it was. Our words matter. Our words to our kids. Our words to our spouses. Words to our friends, our relatives, our family and church. This is for all of us. It's not just for dads. It has a great dad theme to it because Daddy God set the standard. Acceptance, affection, affirmation. This is my son, whom I love. In him, I'm well pleased. Let's bow our heads. Let's close our eyes. We're going to pray for the next few moments. God, thank you for loving us so much. Thank you for making it possible to be a part of your family. God, we see today that you were setting a blueprint down for us to catch of how we should talk to others. How should we talk to our kids? How should we talk to anyone? Not just for dads, but anyone. When you said to your son that he was yours, and that you loved him, and that you were pleased with him. God, I pray that this would be something that we would carry. For those in our lives that we have influence over, for those that we have relationship with, God, help us to speak in this uplifting manner whenever we can. Help us to accept. Help us to show affection. Help us to show affirmation. In Jesus' name, amen.